Hey, Mike here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Dark Poutine early and ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime. You're about to listen to a historical episode of Dark Poutine. After episode 149, you will find Scott is no longer with the show. In an effort to maintain continuity and offer listeners as many episodes as possible, we are leaving the episodes in which he co-hosted intact. Thank you.
Welcome to Dark Poutine. My name is Mike Brown, creator and host. With me, as usual, is my good friend and co-host, Scott Hemenway. Say hello, Scott.
Hello, glorious world.
Oh, what a glorious world it is.
Well, not directly outside of our place.
No, it's torrential rain. It's
monsoony.
One of the neighbors is building an ark. It's terrible.
It's really crazy out there right now, but I'm sure the rest of the world, everybody is living beautifully.
I'm not a strong swimmer, so we're in trouble.
Yeah. Well, I got you back.
The views, information, and opinions expressed during the Dark Poutine podcast are solely those of the producer and do not necessarily represent those of Curious Cast, its affiliate Global News, nor their parent company, Chorus Entertainment.
Dark Poutine is not for the faint of heart or squeamish. Listener discretion is strongly advised. We're not experts on the topics we present, nor are we journalists. We're two ordinary Canadians chatting about crime and the dark side of history. Let's get to it. Put on your toque, grab yourself a double-double and a Nanaimo bar. It's time to scarf down some dark poutine.
Snorf, snorf.
Snorf, snorf. All right, so CrimeCon is coming.
Oh, I'm stoked.
May 1st to 3rd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I'm kind of looking forward to just getting some sunshine.
Yeah, right? having taken the train and walking here in this rain, I really can't wait for some beautiful sun.
No kidding.
I'm going to wear my Speedo all around the convention.
Oh, no.
It's going to be great.
Yuck. So if you have not bought your CrimeCon tickets yet, you use Poutine2020 at checkout on the CrimeCon.com website for 10% off. Please use Poutine2020.
I mean, if you're going, why not save 10%?
Exactly.
Why not?
And why not use our code?
To help us out, to make this a little easier on us.
And we're well over 7,000 now in the Yumber Yard. We have just about broke 7,100.
This is what happens when we talk about it at the beginning of the show.
So that's our Facebook group, and that's all we're going to say about that, the Yumber Yard.
Yumber Yard.
At 12:45 on Sunday, February 16th, we are going to be at Fan Expo Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes place between the 15th and the 17th, but we're doing a live show on Sunday. So 12:45 p.m.
The convention itself is a blast. You'll have an absolute hoot there. So why not go?
Exactly.
And also get to watch us do a live show.
You know who announced that he's going to be there today?
Who's that?
Bruce Campbell.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Yeah. So if you want to pay to see Bruce Campbell, that's great. And then just consider seeing us for free after that.
Oh, I really hope we get to meet some of these people.
I do,
like
too.
Like, just wandering about.
Well, I plan on going for Saturday as well.
Yeah. I'm going to try for sure.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, bring the cameras and everything, but...
Plus, our friend Morgan Knudsen is going to be doing her live fire show there.
Oh,
so.
Is she? Well, great. Yeah. I'm looking forward to meeting her.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Right on.
This is episode 110, The Unsolved Murder of Amber Tuckerow.
Okay.
And this is a case that people have been talking about a lot lately.
Mm-hmm.
They've mentioned it in the Yumber Yard, but so many listeners have sent me things about it. I thought it was a good time to cover this.
Yep.
Just because it's a very compelling case.
Yep.
And it remains unsolved.
Yeah.
Amber Tuckerow was a 20-year-old woman from Mikisew Cree First Nation. She went missing on August 18, 2018, after she was last seen leaving the Nisku Place Motel with a plan to hitchhike into the city of Edmonton, Alberta, just a few kilometers north. Mm-hmm. Sadly, on September 1st, 2012, Amber's remains were discovered on a rural property southeast of Leduc, Alberta, and south of Nisku. Amber's murder remains unsolved and has been on our list to do for quite some time. We chose to cover this now as there have been some recent developments in the news, and we'll address those as we go. A flyer found on the Justice for Amber Tuckerow Facebook page reminds us that Amber Alyssa Tuckerow was a mother, a daughter, sister, auntie, granddaughter, cousin, and niece.
20 years old.
20 years old.
So young.
This is the first of our episodes that we've tagged with MMIW, which stands for Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls.
Mm-hmm.
MMIW also includes those who are 2SLGBTQQIA. A little bit of alphabet salad there, but that's
it's a doozy, yeah.
That's the Canadian politically correct way of saying two-spirit, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, queer, questioning, intersex, or asexual.
And we talked about two-spirited in the past, and I really love that definition.
Yeah, so if you want to learn more, Google is your friend.
Yeah.
If you're not already familiar with those things, there's some pretty fascinating reading out there. According to a Government of Canada website about the recent national inquiry into missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls, quote, Indigenous women and girls in Canada are disproportionately affected by all forms of violence. Although Indigenous women make up 4% of Canada's female population, 16% of all women murdered in Canada between 1980 and 2012 were Indigenous.
Shit.
That's massive.
Yeah.
And it's still taking place today. These are just the stats they have on the site.
Mm-hmm.
Moving forward, we'll tag all of these cases that we do that are relevant with MMIW, we did this one.
Yeah.
And tragically, as of this writing, Indigenous women and girls continue to disappear across the country, and some of those turn up dead, victims of murder. We'll provide links to our sources in the show notes, as usual.
Yep.
But in addition for each of these cases, we'll also offer links to more information and resources about missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls in Canada. Mm-hmm. Some of what we learned of Amber Tuckerow's life and family background comes from transcripts of her brother Paul's heart-wrenching testimony before the National Inquirer to Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls. Mm. During their truth-gathering process in part one of the public hearings held at Edmonton Inn Courtyard Ballroom in Edmonton, Alberta, on Tuesday, November 7th, 2017, and that's when he testified.
Okay.
Paul's testimony provided us with deeper insights that we may not have been able to obtain otherwise. So thank you to Paul for his courage and his testimony.
Oh, I'm very curious about his testimony.
We'll hear some of it, will also post the entire document of his testimony.
Oh, awesome.
From that day on darkpoutine.com.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of listeners will get a lot by reading it.
For sure. Amber Tuckerow was born on January 3, 1990, in Alberta, Canada. She was just 3 days old when she was adopted. Her parents, who could no longer have children of their own, drove all day to go and pick up newborn Amber and bring her back to her new home. Amber's new mom and dad and her four older brothers always wanted to have a little girl to love. So, when the opportunity arose, they leapt at it.
Oh, that's sounding lovely.
Paul said that the family was proud of the fact that Amber learned to walk when she was only 8 months old.
Well, that's pretty great.
Being the baby and the only girl, Amber's big brothers always did their best to protect and take care of her as they grew up together. Aww. Big brothers do that.
Yeah, and big sisters. Yeah.
I teased my little sister, but
Mikey.
I did take care of her, too.
Mikey, yeah.
In the early years of Amber's life, prior to her parents' divorce, the family of seven lived in Fort Chipewyan, or Fort Chip, as locals refer to it.
Fort Chip.
Fort Chip was settled in 1788 by Peter Pond of the Northwest Company.
We've got Fort Chip and Peter Pond.
Exactly.
This is going great.
And it is one of the oldest European settlements in Alberta. 1788 is a long time ago.
Jeez, yeah.
The hamlet of 850 people in northeastern Alberta sits on the southwestern edge of Lake Athabasca and its population is predominantly made up of Cree, Chipewyan First Nations, and Métis people. Mm-hmm. The largest city nearby is Fort McMurray.
Which is not a large city.
No. And that's a hike to the south.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That, living where we live, we'd consider that a very small town.
Yeah.
Not a big city.
From Fort McMurray Tourism, quote, "In summer, Fort Chip may be accessed by air or boat from Fort McMurray, only a 40-minute flight from Fort McMurray. Your Fort Chip getaway is the ideal spot to leave your worries behind and experience the remote beauty, history, and culture. Winter roads link the community of Fort Chip to Fort McMurray in the south and Fort Smith in the Northwest Territories. The 280-kilometer trip from Fort McMurray takes only a few hours, and driving the winter roads is a unique experience."
That's code for it's crazy.
It probably
is. The driving is crazy.
It's like ice road truckers.
Yeah, yeah.
"Be sure to call the Winter Road Hotline at 1-866-743-6111 for up-to-date road conditions," end quote.
Yeah, so you add that after. It's a unique experience. It, Mike, if you said to me, "Hey, did you enjoy the restaurant you went to last night?" And I said, "Well, I mean, it was a unique experience." What do you take from that?
I would say that you were probably letting me know that it was not... not like anything else that you've done.
Beyond guard.
Yeah, perhaps. "When Amber's parents separated, Amber's mother left Fort Chip for a time, and her father also moved away. This left Amber in the care of her older brothers. Mm. Paul was the oldest and only 18 at the time. Welfare got involved."
Yeah.
Paul testified, quote, "They wanted to split up our family, but they kind of knew our history and our background, so they didn't."
Okay.
He continued, "Family's important to me, and I knew I could keep care of my siblings, so they supported me until my mom or dad came back to Fort Chip." So the welfare folks were supportive of Paul taking care of the kids.
This is legally an adult. So am I? I just want to make sure I'm clear. So the parents separated, and they both left the household?
The father moved away, and the mother went away for a time.
Okay.
But she later came back. "Paul wanted all of the kids to stay in school, believing not only that education is important, but especially so in a remote community like Fort Chip."
Mm-hmm.
"Paul said that when it comes to education, quote, if you don't do nothing, you'll end up doing nothing when you become of age." Which totally...
That's spot on.
"Typical of many kids, myself included, in her teens, Amber resisted staying in school, sometimes making excuses not to go." Did you ever do that, Scott?
I'm 46, and sometimes I still do that.
Yeah, there you go. "Despite her protests, Paul encouraged Amber to keep going to school. He said, quote, I always used to tell her, someday when she's older, she'd thank us for it. It may seem like nothing now, but in the future, ..
Yeah.
You know?
He's correct.
Exactly. Paul and Amber's parents had not had it easy either.
Mm-hmm.
They had both been to residential schools.
Ooh.
Their father had been kicked out for misbehaving after only a few days, but their mother, Vivian, who everyone called Tootsie, spent years in a residential school, badly damaging her psychologically.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said that he felt Tootsie's time there, quote, screwed her up, and having to deal with the trauma afterward robbed their family of precious time they could have spent together.
Yeah, and for those who aren't familiar with the residential schools, I do recommend... Go do some Googling.
Exactly.
You'll understand the trauma they suffered.
Residential Schools Canada into Google will tell you everything.
Yeah.
You probably need to make a good start on that topic.
Yes, it's not going to be an enjoyable journey. So
no. In the summer of 2010, 20-year-old Amber and a female acquaintance named Evangeline, whom she'd met only a few weeks before at the Unity Women's Emergency Shelter in Fort McMurray, flew one way on a WestJet flight from Fort McMurray to Edmonton for a brief getaway.
Okay.
Amber had her 15-month-old son Jacob with her. Jacob, of course, was her everything. After the brief flight, the women and the little boy checked into the Nisku Place Motel at 401 11th Avenue in Nisku, Alberta. And this is just a few kilometers away from the Edmonton International Airport, where they had just landed.
Okay, yeah.
Staying at the motel outside the city was much cheaper for the women who were on a tight budget.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me. Just, catch a bus or something into the city.
Yeah.
Apparently, Amber decided to go into the city alone, presumably... for food. and decided that hitchhiking the few kilometers into Edmonton should be okay.
Mm-hmm.
According to Evangeline, Amber left Jacob in her care and headed out to the road to flag down a lift.
Mm-hmm.
The last person who'd heard from her that evening on the phone was her brother, who was in the Edmonton Remand Center at the time.
Okay, yep.
I don't know what for, but he was there. The call came from Amber while she was driving with whoever had picked her up hitchhiking and ended abruptly after Amber challenging the man about the direction they were heading.
So, I think I've asked you this before. Have you ever hitchhiked?
Yep.
Yeah? Yep. Yeah, I've never done it. I have
hitchhiked a lot.
Yeah.
And I have had weird experiences, but I've never had anything that I would need to report to the police.
Yeah, I was one of those kids where it's just, I believed what I was told by media. So when you would hear, like, never hitchhike and don't hitchhike, in my mind, I just grew up with, like, no, that's a terrifying thing.
I've hitchhiked around the South Shore of Nova Scotia a lot and into Halifax a couple of times from the South Shore. That's 60 miles, so.
Granted, I guess if you're coming from a very small neck of the woods where you kind of know everybody, it's probably a bit more common. And
it was then, and but we find out later there were serial killers active, like Michael McGray, and he was picking up female hitchhikers anyway. That night, Amber stopped answering texts. She was a prolific communicator, especially with her mom, but Tootsie was getting no response at all from her daughter, who would always answer back. Tootsie grew concerned about Amber and eventually phoned Evangeline at the motel in Nisku.
Yeah.
According to Paul's testimony before the MMIW National Inquiry, when Tootsie asked about Amber's whereabouts, Evangeline simply said she left. Also, according to Paul, Evangeline kept, quote, changing her story, and Tootsie, quote, kind of knew something was up.
Okay.
Paul told the Inquiry that his family still feels like they haven't gotten the whole story.
Yeah.
said, quote, so even now, we're still trying to get the information for what happened that day because it didn't make sense.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I can totally empathize with their suspicion in getting all of the information.
Mm-hmm. Especially when their sister, daughter, auntie, mother goes missing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Tootsie was beside herself with worry. She believed that there was no way Amber would leave little Jacob with a stranger for that long without checking in.
Yeah.
Tootsie wanted to report Amber missing and called the RCMP. The RCMP told Tootsie she had to wait 24 hours before filing a missing persons report on her daughter. She later told CBC that she was disgusted by the response that she got from Leduc RCMP that day. Quote, even when I reported her missing, they asked me if she ever went missing before. Oh, she's probably out partying and she's gonna come home. She'll call. End quote.
Oh, I know we've talked about this in the past as well, that 24 hours, wait 24 hours kills me. I understand why the police have to have that. Otherwise, all officers would just
Here's the thing, Scott.
Oh, we've got to here's the thing, do we?
Yeah. Amber didn't call, and she didn't come home. Paul later told the National Inquiry, quote, we went online and checked it out, and we found that there's no law saying you got to wait 24 hours.
What?
There is nothing.
It's a policy, not a...
Exactly.
Okay.
So,
son of a bitch.
Why were the RCMP telling them this? Paul also said that the first 24 hours are, quote, critical in a missing persons case, which concerned the family even more.
Absolutely. Again, though, I get the policy. Otherwise, all officers would be out looking for people.
I would be out looking for somebody if someone says, my daughter has just gone on a vacation with a friend, left her 15-month-old with this woman who's really a stranger.
Yep.
She's not really a friend. They call her an acquaintance numerous times on the Facebook group. So, of course.
Yep.
You know, if you're a police officer, you hear those things.
Well, that's the thing. Like, is that I understand why the policy is there, but you have to look at each one uniquely and look at the facts, look at the circumstances in this. Because, yeah, this is clearly something that if I were hearing it, I'd go, oh, yeah, that's fucky. Like, there's something going
Something's fucky. Tootsie was called by Child and Family Services to let her know that they now had Jacob. Evangeline had turned him over to them. Tootsie went to Edmonton to get Jacob back, but ran into difficulty when attempting to retrieve him from the ministry's care, as even though she was his grandmother, she was not his legal guardian.
All right, well, go help find his legal guardian.
Exactly. That's exactly my take on it, too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, okay, but I'm the next best thing right now.
Yeah, and you're not looking for the legal guardian who's missing, so
yeah,
I'm here.
RCMP officers were eventually sent to the motel to retrieve Amber's suitcase, but it had been sitting there unguarded for a couple of days.
Holy shit.
Anyone could have tampered with it, perhaps even removed key bits of evidence that could have given investigators something to go on.
Well, I mean, even trying to do the right thing. Well, let's see if I can find out whose this is, and you open it up and you're moving.
They did that later. They didn't seek out Evangeline right away to have a conversation with her until long after Amber had been gone.
Good God.
According to an article on the Red Power Media website published in May of 2015, quote, on September 4th, less than 3 weeks after Amber Tuckero's disappearance, a media relations officer with Leduc RCMP was quoted in a local newspaper saying, quote, we don't have any reason to believe she is in any danger. We know that she is in the Edmonton area, end quote. And according to RCMP spokesman Mary Schlosser, quote, the accuracy of this media comment is now under CRCC review, end quote. But, like, really?
They're just so quick to disregard Amber.
Yeah, well, her family wasn't. Despite the RCMP's comments publicly, Amber's family was beginning to fear the worst. They thought that perhaps something terrible had happened to their daughter.
Yeah. And I want to make it clear, we are huge fans of law enforcement. We think they are absolutely amazing people.
But we don't fetishize them.
We don't, and it doesn't mean that we're not going to hold people accountable, whether law enforcement or a private citizen, when we see something that is just wrong.
Yeah. Amber was finally put onto CPIC, the RCMP's missing person database. According to Paul Tuckero's testimony, the family was told that the only way Amber would ever be removed from the database was if the RCMP were, quote, 100% certain that she had, quote, physically been seen.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this wasn't the case. Paul testified the ad was out there for a bit, meaning a few days to a week.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, my sister got taken off because somebody in some reserve said they seen my sister in a gas station. End
but there's
quote.
No corroborating. There's no video surveillance. It's just somebody said that.
Another person said that Amber had been active on social media, but this also turned out to be false.
Because you know what you can do.
Look.
Go check in social media.
Well, they didn't. Even though these claims were proven erroneous, getting Amber back onto the missing persons database seemed like an uphill climb. They wouldn't do it at first. Mm-hmm. Precious days and weeks went by as the RCMP dragged their feet, reactivating the file.
Yeah.
At the time of the national inquiry, the family still had no idea how this mistake could have happened, and they'd heard no explanation at all from the RCMP.
The RCMP absolutely know why that was done.
Oh, yeah. From a later RCMP release, quote, Amber Tuckero, a resident of Fort McMurray, was visiting the Edmonton area when she was last seen in the early evening of August 18, 2010, in Leduc County, Alberta. She was 5'6" tall, 167 centimeters, had brown eyes. At the time of her disappearance, she was 20 years old, weighed 144 pounds, 65 kilograms, had black hair with blonde streaks, and may have been wearing a purple Bench brand hoodie. So there's the description of her. Amber's family worried for over a year without any real news about what had happened to Amber.
Oh my God. So parents out there, just imagine this, please.
There's no massive search.
Your child goes missing.
Yeah.
You come home from work today and your child is missing.
Mm-hmm.
You contact the authorities.
Even though your child's 20, but still.
Still.
Yeah.
You're freaking out.
Yes.
Imagine that. Your kid is missing. You're freaking 100%. Out and you're reaching out to the people you're supposed to reach out to help you. My kid's missing. Sorry, no can help. And you're just, what do you do? You can only do so much as an individual. Oh my God. I would.
Yeah. They knew because it was an open investigation, RCMP would play their cards close to the vest.
Yeah.
but no information at all.
That's a pretty big vest.
Bad news came with a phone call. Paul paraphrased what happened during that phone call from the RCMP in his testimony at the MMIW National Inquiry. Quote, we got a call from them and they said, quote, okay, we know your sister is gone. Like, she's passed on. She met with foul play, so we think you guys should have, like, a memorial or something. Not a wake, but something, like, because we know she's passed on. And we're like, well, where's the body? How do you guys know that?
Yeah.
Where's the proof?
Yeah.
But they said, we know she's gone, but keep posting on Facebook like she's still missing. End quote.
Wow. How are you supposed to interpret that? As a brother, as a mother, as a father, how are you supposed to interpret
that? Just so cavalier. Like, and the family pressed for information, but the RCMP wasn't forthcoming with it. And for sure...
Well, then at least just say that. At least say, look, there are specific reasons we can't give you any more.
Oh, I'm sure they said that.
I hope so.
But still, that's way too little information. So the family obviously didn't want to hold any kind of memorial for Amber if there was still a chance that she might still be alive.
If you're not going to say we have a body or we know this because we found, I'm going to be going, I'm going
to hold out hope until I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Another blow to hopes of Amber's safe return came over a month later.
Okay.
Amber's family had been told that if something big came up, they would be called into the Fort McMurray RCMP detachment. The cops had been sitting on something for a year at least, according to Paul's testimony. It was a recording of Amber's last phone call, the one that she'd made while riding with the person who may or may not have killed her.
Yep.
We'll take a break right here.
Yeah.
Isn't this crazy? Like, this is proof of that systemic racism that people talk about.
It is concrete.
Yeah.
Proof
if
of
if
it.
She
absolutely.
Was a white girl, never would have happened.
Yeah, I absolutely
never.
Agree. And it's not that racism where you have people sitting there going, how about those indigenous people? It's not overt in that sense. It's just in that sense. It's just it's inherent.
Yeah.
It's built in.
Into the system, into the ideas of the officers.
You don't have to speak it. It's there.
Yeah. Yeah. There's around 17 minutes of audio that they got of Amber's last phone call. Some parts of the call were bleeped out, possibly for evidentiary reasons.
Yeah, okay.
But it was definitely Amber. Hearing her daughter's voice over a year after she'd gone missing was traumatic for Tootsie.
Oh, my God.
No kidding. But she was also upset that she had not heard it sooner.
Right?
Yeah.
What is the intent of holding it from the family? Like, I can't grasp that.
Perhaps they were looking at, was it someone they knew or was related or, I don't know.
Okay, well, why not at least say we have an audio recording that is like...
Yeah, we can speculate all we like, but there's no good reason if you really think about it.
No, I agree.
As mentioned above, the bulk of the call is Amber talking to one of her brothers who was in the Edmonton Remand Center at the time.
Yeah.
There are also interactions between Amber and the man who she was riding with.
Yeah.
Tootsie and the rest of the family had no idea who the mystery voice belonged to. The investigative team looking after the file by this point, quote, referred to as Project CARE, the sole purpose of this unit was to investigate the death of several vulnerable missing persons in the Edmonton area. Mm-hmm. Later, this unit was expanded and became the Alberta Missing Persons Unit.
Okay.
On August 28th, 2012, just 10 days after the two-year anniversary of Amber's disappearance, Project CARE investigators decided to release 1 minute and 15 seconds of the call to the public with the hope that someone could identify this man's voice.
Yeah.
And we've seen this technique used effectively and successfully a number of times before.
Abbas Road Killer.
That's what I was just going to mention. Terry Driver, the subject of our second and third episodes, was recognized by his family when police released audio of his taunting calls to them. We're going to listen to a portion of the call that was released to the public. An extra word of warning, there's language that's not safe for work here.
Yeah.
However, we want to play it in its entirety as it may help solve this unresolved case.
Yes.
So here it is.
Where are we by?
We're just heading south of Beaumont, or north of Beaumont.
We're heading north of Beaumont. Yo, where are we going? No, this is a... Are you fucking kidding me? You better not take... You better not be taking me anywhere I don't want to go. I want to go into the city. Jeez. Yo, we're not going in the city, are we? No, we're not. Then where the fuck are these roads going to?
50th Street.
50th Street. Are you sure?
Absolutely.
Yo, where are we going?
50th Street.
50th Street?
50th Street.
East, right?
East.
Oh, that's hard to hear. I don't mean like audio wise. I mean, that's just knowing that that person's missing.
Mm. And you can hear a lot of frustration in her voice. She knows something's wrong.
Yeah. You know? 100% you can hear that in her. And I find it really amazing how she's trying to get. I don't know if she was cognizant that it was being recorded, the call, but she knew she was talking with her brother. And so getting this guy to, okay, east, are we? Is it east on this?
She's trying to get information from him. Yeah,
just in case something happens. Like that's very, very aware.
If you didn't quite make out what she was saying,
yeah.
I am going to post a transcript of the call on darkpoutine.com so you can
that's good. Yeah.
Read it and listen.
Yeah.
Her first words are, where are we by? Yeah. You know, and the unknown male just says, we're just heading south of Beaumont or north of Beaumont.
Yeah.
So he kind of gave himself away in a way. But anyway, we'll talk about that later.
Yep.
If you recognize that man's voice or have any information related to Amber's disappearance, please call the Leduc RCMP detachment at 780-980-7267 or Crime Stoppers at 1-800-222-TIPS or 8477.
Even if you're not 100% you know what that voice is, just any...
If you think it's somebody...
If you've got a little tingle, if you feel odd while listening to that, like you might recognize it, just call.
Yeah. It's a good idea to do.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah,
please do.
It would become even more clear how important this interaction truly was on September 1st, 2012. Mm. Not even a week after the haunting cell phone call was released, a skull was found in a wooded area near a field just east of Leduc, Alberta, near Range Road 241 and Highway 623 by some horseback riders.
Oh, boy.
Investigators scoured the area for days afterward, and other remains were found there, too. So they found more bones.
Okay.
I did a bit of Google Foo and looked at Street View of that area, and it's very flat, except there are just stands of trees along some of the fields by dirt roads.
Yep.
So I believe that's where they found her.
Okay.
According to an RCMP release at the time, dental records verified the bones belonged to Amber Alyssa Tuckerow. She had been murdered. From a Global News article posted on September 4th, 2012, quote, "This is very sad news for the Tuckerow family and our thoughts are with them," said Staff Sergeant Gerard McNeil of CARE. "This discovery brings us closer to finding out what happened to Amber," end quote. But does it? But does it?
I'm going to say no.
It was a mere 18-minute drive from where Amber was last seen to where she was eventually found. This matches almost exactly the timing of Amber's
17-minute call.
17-minute phone call. Did the voice on the call actually belong to Amber's killer? And all signs are pointing to most likely.
What are the odds that it's not? I mean,
right?
Circumstantially, like that's just... Too lined up.
And if this individual could say, yeah, I took her out there and dropped her off. I don't know what happened to her after.
Yep, for sure. And that would likely be what they would say. But because the phone, she didn't hang up the phone. She wasn't like, I'm going to go now.
Yeah. So she knew something was up.
We probably heard, the moment where something started to happen.
Yeah.
And that's just devastating.
Yeah, and I'm sure that the Tuckero family, every time they hear it, it's painful for them.
I think if I were a parent, I would listen to it once, you know, to kind of let me see if I can recognize the voice, to kind of get the facts. I don't know if I'd be able to ever listen again, but
I think Tootsie or Vivian, her mom, helps to manage that Facebook page.
Yep.
That I was talking about.
Yep.
And she posts about this voice a lot.
Yeah.
So please listen. Please listen.
Yes.
I don't know, like you say, if she's listening herself, but she wants others to listen.
So
that's why I'm comfortable playing it.
Yeah.
Because she really wants other people
to
listen.
Well, and it's easy for me to say what I would do, have not been in that situation. Mm-hmm. Maybe you would you would want to hear it over and over. It's like you get to hear your kid's voice. Your missing child's voice, you get to really, you're going to want to analyze every. So it's tough to say. I can't really say what I would do.
Yeah.
But it's difficult either way.
I have a feeling you would want to analyze it to death. I know Scott Hemingway, and I think you would just be analyzing, looking for something.
Most likely so.
Yeah.
But it's just like, maybe once you've got everything figured out, maybe once there's a conclusion, I would say never again.
Never again, yeah.
Never again. Yeah. But again, it's also like that's
the
last words of
my
child. I'm going to want to hear that.
Yep. Let's listen to the audio of the unknown male voice that's been isolated.
Yeah.
So Amber's side of the conversation and whoever else's has been removed. So we hear only this guy's voice.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. So let's listen.
We're just heading south of Beaumont, or north of Beaumont. We're going to 50th Street. Absolutely. 50th Street. We're just
So
that's actually quite helpful to hear, and
just his voice, because it would probably be easier to identify somebody using that method.
Yeah.
So please, if you need to listen to it again, that will also be on the darkpoutine.com website in the post for this particular episode.
Okay.
And I'm probably reading way too much into this, but I think I hear this weird sense of excitement in this guy's voice. Like he was up. I could hear that he was like up, but angry.
I hear frustration. Hear him getting on the verge of getting, yes, 50th Street. Yes. Like
he wants to get somewhere.
Like he wants to get somewhere and he wants her quiet.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to hear her anymore. He doesn't want, like, just stop questioning me.
It's chilling either way.
Incredibly chilling.
Amber's family did have their memorial and buried her remains. What little faith her family had in the RCMP was completely gone by this point. They felt that more could have been done to look for Amber earlier, and it may have even saved her life. Or if not, her killer might have been identified. They wanted an apology, but the RCMP refused to acknowledge any wrongdoing.
Oh, God.
Years had gone by with various tips that have appeared interesting, but no resolution in this case.
Mm-hmm.
In March of 2014, the Civilian Review and Complaints Commission, there's what CRCC stands for, began their own investigation into the case after a complaint was filed by Amber's mother.
Good.
In her complaint, Vivian Tuckero alleged that the RCMP members of the Leduc detachment in Alberta failed to conduct an adequate investigation into the disappearance and subsequent death of her daughter, Amber Tuckero.
Absolutely.
It took a full 4 years before the report was fully investigated and released.
Okay.
From the commission's final report, after commissioner's response in 2018, quote, in summary, the commission found that the investigation into Ms. Tuckero's disappearance was deficient in that various members were either not properly trained or did not adhere to their training, and that various members did not comply with policies, procedures, and guidelines. The report also identified shortcomings with the existing training, policies, procedures, and guidelines. End quote. It stops short of admitting to systemic racism.
Yes.
But
it's admitting that
fault.
We screwed up.
Right. In late July of 2019, this past year, Deputy Commissioner Curtis Zablocki, commanding officer of Alberta RCMP, issued an apology publicly to the family of Amber Tuckerow for how the investigation into her disappearance and homicide was handled. Here's some audio of Deputy Commissioner Zablocki during a press conference as covered by Global News.
Thank you for taking the time to meet with me today as we gather on Treaty 6 territory, traditional land, and home for many Indigenous people. Before I begin, I want to express my deepest sympathy for your family's loss. Please know that the RCMP remains completely committed to searching for the person responsible for taking Amber from you. I'd like to commend you for the courage to talk about your difficult experiences searching for Amber, your daughter, sister, and mother. Amber was a beloved member of your family and of the community. I fully acknowledge that in the early days of our investigation into Amber's disappearance, that it required a better sense of urgency and care. We agree with the Civilian Review and Complaints Commission that in 2010, our Leduc detachment's initial missing person investigation was not our best work and was not in line with our established practices, procedures, and guidelines. At the beginning of this investigation, the RCMP was not the police service we strive to be. On behalf of the RCMP, I am truly sorry. Although the past cannot be changed, it is important to remember and learn from it. This is necessary in order to move forward. I can tell you with confidence that the RCMP is listening and learning from families such as yourselves. This includes building trust with family members by providing timely communication and requiring more oversight from senior management teams. We are committed to addressing the recommendations laid out in the Civilian Review and Complaints Commission's report. I've personally reviewed each recommendation, several of which we had already implemented when the report was received in 2018. I'm grateful that your family has continued a dialogue with us over the years, however strained and difficult it may have been for you. I'm committed to continue to hear your truths, heal, and improve upon the relationship we have with you as we strive for the same goal, finding justice forever.
Okay.
So much to
There's
process there.
Yeah.
Because does he seem genuine and contrite? Absolutely, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He absolutely does. Do I think he is... he firmly believes in what he's saying and that they will improve from it? Absolutely. Again, as a parent, my mind would just be, yeah, that's great, but my kid is dead.
Well, here you go. Zablocki went on to say that some of the members involved at the Leduc detachment no longer work for the RCMP, but it's not clear whether they were fired or left on their own. Regardless of the apology, Amber's family was not willing to accept it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
From Fletcher Kent's report for Global News, here's some more audio from that day, and this gets interesting.
Vivian Tuckerow listened to the apology. Later, as she sat next to the deputy commissioner, she said she doesn't accept it.
The apology doesn't mean anything to me, because they did it because they were told to.
Soon after, this happened.
Sir, you're late for your next appointment. I'm sorry, we're going to have to cut it off.
RCMP left the news conference.
No, I'm just shaking my head at these leaving.
I mean, they're the ones apologizing, but yet they can get up and walk away. What does that say?
Many in the crowd feel little has actually changed with how Canada and the RCMP sees missing and murdered Indigenous people.
I'm angry. I'm angry that it's gone on so long and so many excuses and so much hatred.
I don't know if it's going to help heal anybody or anything, but it doesn't do much for me.
Karen Ducharme's brother disappeared 3 years ago. She says Mounties treated her brother's case just like Tuckero's.
He's not white. And if he was white, he'd be searched for.
This day highlighted a lot of pain from many families, pain clearly not eased by an apology. Fletcher Kent, Global News.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I can't say that I disagree at all.
Especially the RCMP, well, we've got other stuff to do. Here, you know what you do? You clear your afternoon and you spend it with those people.
Yeah.
Clear your bloody afternoon and spend it with the people who you are, quote unquote, apologizing to.
I can get from a public relations perspective why you don't have that public, like in front of the cameras, because there's going to be a lot of anger thrown your way. But you know what? You own that.
Yep.
The RCMP, I'm not going to say the speaker himself necessarily, but the RCMP need to be lambasted.
Yeah.
And if you're the spokesman there, you take it.
Yeah.
You take it and you say, I'm sorry.
Yeah. That was ridiculous.
You get your ass handed to you.
Yeah. Just watching them walk away just burned me.
Yeah, I get it from a PR perspective.
And I'm nobody in this case. Yeah. I can't imagine how Paul and Tootsie felt and the rest of their family who were there. Just like, what?
Yeah.
Where the hell are these people going?
Yeah. Again, public relations, I get it. But this, if the whole intent of this was public relations to make right. And so part of that, if the family needs to give you what for, you take it.
Yeah. Tootsie also stated, quote, today, I don't know how I feel. I really don't. Mm-hmm. I'm angry. I'm hurt. I'm just messed up. But like Amber always told me, you got this, mama, and I do, end quote.
Oh, my God. My heart.
Also from global news coverage from the press conference, here's some audio of Paul Tuckero speaking to the crowd, offering words of empathy and encouragement for families of others who are missing and or murdered.
Oh.
Well, I think for me, I just want to say to every family that's out there, you know, that has a lost loved one, you know, that don't think you're alone. And because the girls that are missing, you know, we don't know if they're alive or if they're not. But if they're crying or praying, you know, just want them to know that, you know, everybody's thinking about them and to not give up, and because the families aren't giving up. But now moving forward, you know, we as families, we need to come together that have experienced it and put our resources together, and then, you know, and then we're going to do anything and everything we can to help them. Because like Mom said earlier, there's a lot of families that don't know what to do or who to go to. Like, we're even willing to go with them to the RCMP because we know what we were able through our support services to, we know when you go to RCMP, we know what the process is and stuff like that. And, you know, now we know. And now going forward, that's what we want to do to help everybody. You know, and I hope, you know, we're not going to give up. You know, we're going to, because people, they just think, just because we're Indians, they think we're disposable. We're not. You know, you tell the families, the ones that have the ones missing, that's their life. You know, just imagine a kid right now wanting their parent.
Yeah.
I really, really like this Paul chap.
Yeah,
right off the bat when he steps up to take care at 18 of his family, his brothers and sisters.
And then after all this goes on, he's the rock.
Like, what an amazing person Paul is. I really, really like him.
Yeah, I kind of want to shake his hand.
Yeah. Oh.
And he was correct in saying that there are others. The CARE Task Force, now called Division K, has admitted over the years that there may be a serial killer operating in and around Edmonton and is targeting Indigenous women and sex workers.
Which we see often.
There are four other homicides of women whose remains have been discovered in Leduc County, sort of close to where Amber's remains have been found, and they may be victims of the same serial predator. Edna Bernard, 28, was found in 2002 from a CBC article on missing and murdered Indigenous women. Quote, a friend saw Edna in a vehicle with unknown people in Edmonton on September 22, 2002. Her body was found in a farmer's field in Leduc, Alberta. The next day, she had been strangled, her body lit on fire. Ooh, end quote.
Shit.
That's one.
From the same CBC database, Katie Sylvia Ballantyne was a 40-year-old mother of four when a friend reported her missing to the Edmonton Police Service on May 5, 2003. A farmer found Ballantyne's remains in a field near Leduc, Alberta, on July 7, 2003. Family members say they last met with investigators in 2013 but learned no new details. So, 10 years after.
Yeah.
In April of 2015, the skull of a 32-year-old Métis woman named Dolores Brower was found near Raleighview in Leduc County. She'd gone missing nearly 10 years prior. Also, from the GatewayGazette.ca, as reported, the RCMP recovered the human remains of Dolores Brower on April 19, 2015, from a rural property near Leduc. Police were notified of the discovery by the landowner. Today, the RCMP announced that they know that some of the human remains found that day belong to Corey Renee Ottenbright of Edmonton, who had been the subject of a missing persons investigation since July of 2004.
Holy shit.
Corey had been identified through DNA. There's some creep who is taking women out there, killing them, and leaving them in fields or near trees or whatever. And it's all, a dumping ground.
And all roughly around the same time, within a few years, I might gather?
It's within 10 years of every
other. Okay, because I thought a bunch were found 10 years later, so I thought reverse mathing.
No, but yeah. It's all within, you know,
close
2000 and 2010, there's five.
Yeah.
Amber was not a sex trade worker. We need to get that straight, but the four others were. It appears she may have simply been a target of opportunity for this predator.
Mm-hmm.
Who was out hunting that night when Amber just wanted a ride.
Yep, easy pickings in his mind.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, oh, well, I don't even have to, you know, lure her into my car. She'll just get in.
Yeah.
All she wanted was a ride to Edmonton.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Ugh. A few local men have been accused in various social media posts over the years, and we're not going to name them here. This brings us to today, where just this past week, there have been new allegations. People have been talking about it on the Yumberyard.
Yeah, it's blowing up.
This Global News report lays it out.
RCMP are investigating a tip from a man who believes his father was involved in the death of Amber Tuckero. Police confirmed they were investigating after the man made the claim in a widely circulated social media post. It has since been taken down. The man alleged his father may also be involved in a number of other missing persons files. The RCMP say many of those cases have already been solved. Amber Tuckero was 20 years old when she disappeared in August 2010. In 2012, police released a chilling cell phone recording between her and an unknown man. It's believed to be the last time anyone heard from her. A week after the audio was released, Tuckero's remains were found in Leduc County.
So there you go. Before you jump to conclusions and you hop on this guy did it train with this social media post.
Yep.
Be very, very careful. This is why we're not talking about the person. We're not mentioning the son. From a media release on the RCMP's website from January 24th, 2020, quote, in early December 2019, the Banff RCMP was contacted by a male who alleged that his father may be responsible for a missing person from the Banff area.
Yeah.
The male also stated that he believed his father may be linked to numerous missing persons and homicide files in Alberta. On January 20, 2020, the male advised RCMP that he believed his father to also be involved in the disappearance and murder of Amber Tuckero, end quote. It just sounds like this guy's throwing enough stuff at the wall that he hopes some of it will stick. Maybe he resents his father for some reason. Maybe there is some veracity to what he's saying.
Yeah, like I'm hesitant to choose one side or the other. Because if there is weight to it, I don't want to steer people away from it.
We watched this video.
Yes. And from my perspective, I couldn't notice a similarity between the voices.
Yeah. I mean, the only similarity I heard were the accents.
Yes.
I mean, it was a man's voice.
Yes.
And a man who had a bit of a deep voice.
Yes.
And they had the similar Albertan accent.
Yes. Now, again, always trying to be diplomatic and look at be objective. They were recorded on different devices, so that will make the voice
all
sound differently. You know, different times in life. So there's a lot of reasons why it might not sound completely identical. But so we were told to listen for, it was recommended to listen to so that you could hear the comparison.
Yeah.
And to me, they didn't gel. But I'm not an expert. I'm not in law enforcement. Yeah. I can barely spell my name.
Well,
so
Two T's.
That's why it's on my back. It helps me. I'm not an expert, but I'm also going to be honest and say there were more dissimilarities than similarities.
I agree. Yeah. And I think it's best for us to let the professionals do their jobs. Yep. Although in this case, as mentioned, they kind of bungled things early on.
Yeah, that's true. And I do recommend that people go and judge for yourself. Take a listen if it's still available, because it sounds like it's not. But make your own conclusions. I mean, maybe you listen and you have a very different opinion, and or you listen to hear the similarities, but then recognize the voice yourself. So I still recommend listening.
Yeah.
Or watching, however you choose to.
There you go. So let's finish this episode by reminding everyone of the possible perpetrator's voice.
Yes.
With the isolated audio from Amber's last call.
Yes.
With just this male unsub.
Yeah.
And so we'll play that for you again just one last time.
Yes.
We're just handled south of Beaumont, or north of Beaumont. We're going to 50th Street. Absolutely. 50th Street.
He does say absolutely a lot like me. Absolutely.
Well, he has said it twice because they repeat the call twice.
No, I know, but he says it very, that he says, pronounces it the same. Oh. Absolutely.
Yeah. Because you're from...
And if you, as a listener, it's easy to sit there and go, I've never been to Canada, let alone Alberta. Well, how could I recognize the voice? You never know. Maybe this person traveled.
Just listen.
And you know, you were at the same hotel as him once and recognized.
Again, if you recognize this man's voice or have information related to Amber's disappearance, please call the Leduc RCMP detachment at 780-980-7267. Or Crime Stoppers at 1-800-222-TIPS. That's 8477. And thanks to a listener friend of ours friend of the show and former employee of mine at the telecom that Scott and I worked at, Vanessa Darwin. She pointed out the new developments in this case to me before anyone else did. Mm-hmm. So we're giving her a bit of cred for that.
Yeah.
Your note prompted this week's case. Thanks, Vanessa.
Thank you, Vanessa.
So that's it for this one. Whoa. I'm hoping that the right person hears that call someday. And because it's in the news again, I thought this was absolutely relevant to do this particular case today.
Well, and because it's still unsolved, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can.
Yeah. And guide even with people. these new developments, even Amber's family is saying, please don't get overly hopeful and,
For a large part, I would like for it to be correct just so that we can finally get a resolution.
I was considering reaching out to them for this case, but I noticed on their Facebook page, they said they want privacy at this time because it's in the news again.
Mm-hmm.
They can absolutely have that.
And as a fellow human and a parent, my heart is with you guys. There's nothing I can really say that will fully articulate the sorrow, but my heart is with you guys. Thank you so much for being who you are.
There you go. Well, let's lighten things up a bit.
Whew.
We'll start with some voicemails, and you can leave us one at 1-877-327-5786 or 1-877-DARKPUTIN. DARKPTN. That's 1-877-DARKPUTIN. DARKPUTIN. And if your call really stands out, you might hear it on the show.
Mm-hmm. If it stinks balls, you might not.
Hey, Mike and Scott. This is Michael Adams calling from Qualica Beach, British Columbia on Vancouver Island. I want to say me and my wife love your show. Yeah. Gets me through our day at work there. And hey, if you guys are interested, maybe take a look at viewing the Surrey 6 shooting. That's an interesting one there. Anyways, thanks for all the awesome shows. Go shit in your hat.
No, Michael, you go shit in your hat.
Michael sounds like a pretty gnarly dude.
He does, but he's asking about a case that we're not going to cover.
We don't want to die.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's all we're going to say about that.
Yeah.
Because this is our neighborhood.
Yeah.
We have to live here.
Yeah.
People are still going pew-pew here.
It's still murdery.
It's still quite murdery at times.
We,
and
we
want to be murderless.
We're doing it for you. We're not going to cover it for you because we want you to be able to enjoy more episodes.
Dark Poutine. So tell your wife thank you for enjoying the show as well.
Yeah.
And thank you to you. And your suggestion wasn't a bad one.
No. It's just one where we don't want to die.
Yeah, we would cover it if we lived in a bunker.
I'm fascinated by it. I have a friend whose cousin was one of the victims, but I'm good.
Yeah.
But also, Qualicum Beach is really nice.
It really is.
It's a beautiful location. So thank you, Michael Adams.
Let's listen to another one.
Okay.
Hi. I'm like trying to reach Bob or Doug McKenzie. I'm supposed to meet them at the Yumber Yard. The Yumber Yard. That has to be a typo. Anyway, I got your mouse in a bottle. And I'm not sure what this has to do with Dark Poutine, but get in touch with me. So I'll see you soon.
Oh boy,
that was awesome.
Oh no,
that was awesome. I'm glad you got the mouse in the bottle.
Elsinore beer.
Elsinore, yep. oh my god.
Yeah.
For those who don't know.
Yeah, watch
Strange Brew.
Strange Brew.
You actually, if you watch Strange Brew and you're not a Canadian, you get immediate citizenship.
Is that what happens?
Yeah, it gets mailed to you. Like they know. They know
you just don't get any health care.
No, you don't. That's not that easy. But you do become an immediate citizen because that's about as Canadian as it gets.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, that was really funny.
I needed that.
Well, thank you very much for that particular one.
Yeah.
We're going to listen to another one.
Hi, guys. This is Alexandra from London, Ontario. I love you guys so much. I listen to over 90 podcasts, and yours is one of the ones I very much look forward to dropping every week. So just wanted to say thank you for all that you do. You do make a difference to a lot of people, I'm sure you know, but just letting you know there's one more person out here that's a big fan and really hoping to hear lots more from you guys. Wondering if you might want to consider a case from here in London. There's, of course, lots of cases, but the one that was pretty newsworthy a few years ago was the Bandidos. They had a big mass shooting here, so it could be an interesting case. But in any event, love your show. Really love you guys and your interaction and your banter and your respect for the victims and all that you do. So thanks again. I look forward to hearing more, and have a great day. Bye.
Compliments will get you everywhere.
It will.
Yeah. We really appreciate that.
But again, something else we won't cover because biker gangs.
Yeah. So, I mean, if any of you know of like Canadian gang related things from, I don't know, like the 70s and they don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
If the gang is not a gang.
Well, I know one gang that doesn't exist anymore. It was, never mind. I don't want to get into it because they became another gang that is very well known.
Yeah. So no, yeah, the gang can't have merged into a newer gang.
No.
So because again, we don't want to die.
We don't want to die.
We'll talk about the Bloods and Crips. They're not here.
No, exactly.
No, we won't either, but you know.
They might be.
They might be. Shit.
They might be
okay.
Next door.
Okay. So, yeah. Well, great suggestions. These are things that fascinate me, too.
But
I don't want to die.
Yeah. Thanks again for leaving us a voicemail. And like we said, if you leave us one that's compelling and funny, usually funny is good.
Funny is great. And complimentary.
Yeah. 1-877-327-5786 or 1-877-DARK-PTN. That's 1-877-DARK.
1-877 Dark Poutine.
Exactly. Let's get on to it's time for shout outs to our new patrons and our donut money donors.
Yeah.
Thank you so much to all of you. Hopefully I can read this tiny screen that I have here in front of me. I don't think I can.
You can ambiguify it.
First up, we have Andrea McElveen.
Andrea!
Elveen. Is she Elvin? McElvin, maybe?
This is a great question.
I don't know where she's from, Scott. Yeah.
Well, that's how the northern elves pronounce it, Elveen.
McElveen.
Yeah, so the northern elves.
There you go.
Yeah.
But where's she from?
Oh, she's from Apple Bottom Lake.
Ooh.
Yeah. In Papua New Guinea.
Okay. And what does she do in Papua New Guinea?
Well, she combs beaches.
She combs beaches.
Which would be a?
Beachcomber. Exactly. Like Nicodonidas or Relic.
Exactly.
Well, they're very good. That's a nice job.
But.
She actually uses a comb.
She actually uses a comb.
Oh, that's sad.
And you would think, if your mind takes you to a giant comb. No, no, a small comb.
Oh.
But it's because they really, really want their beaches well manicured.
Fair enough.
So I get it. I get it.
Next up, we have somebody else who we don't know very well. It's Jamie Perot.
Jamie Perot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know where Jamie is from?
Yep.
Oh.
Washington State.
Okay.
Yep. It's the great second niece of Ross H. Perot.
Oh.
Yeah, remember him?
Yeah, I don't think it's... it is actually sort of spelled the same.
You're welcome.
Wow.
Yeah.
How come your pledge isn't $1 billion?
Well, again, great second niece twice removed.
Oh, so she's not a billionaire.
Yeah, yeah.
What does she do?
Like, a lot of people have to die for her to inherit that.
Oh.
What does she do?
Yeah.
She works for the Democratic Party.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Well, good for her.
Yeah, she's a...
think she'd be an independent.
What do they call her? She's a whip.
Do you even know what that is?
Well, I mean, I watch House of Cards.
Allison W. from Mindamoya, Ontario.
What's that name?
Thank you
again?
So much.
Mindamoyan.
Yeah. From Mindamoyan.
Yeah.
Thank you, Allison.
Thank you muchly.
Charla Chilton.
Yeah.
She came in at our old PM level. We're not taking new PMs, but.
Super dope, though.
We'll have to convert her if that happens.
Yeah.
She'll have to cancel and re up.
Yeah.
But yes, so thank you so much, Carla Chilton. Where is she from?
She's from
not Papua New Guinea.
Oh, Dunkirk.
Oh.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Yep. Yeah.
Is she like a hotel owner in Dunkirk or works in the
You're just saying that.
Works on the beach giving out beach towels or
why does everything have to be beach related?
Because it's right on the seaside. It's quite nice there.
We already had one beach comber.
Okay,
Mike.
What does she do?
Yeah, she works at a hotel.
Oh, fantastic.
She works in the laundry.
Oh.
She works in the laundry there.
There you go.
And she irons towels.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next up, we have Lindsay.
Yeah, hey, Lindsay.
I don't know where Lindsay's from.
Yeah. Lindsay is from... Oh, God, I think we've had people from there before, East Dakota.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah.
The place that doesn't really exist.
Yeah, it'll go move to East Dakota and then tell me it doesn't exist,
okay.
Mike.
Yeah,
she's from East Dakota.
And
what she does is she makes flyers for West Dakota.
Makes flyers?
Yeah, makes tourism flyers for West Dakota.
Oh, another place that doesn't exist.
Yeah, no, they exist, again. Well, then what the hell is she making flyers for if it doesn't exist, Mike? Jesus.
Caitlin Moore Skibbick.
Yeah.
I don't know where she's from. It looks like somewhere in Canada, though.
Holy crap. There's a lot of... okay. Caitlin. Yeah, Caitlin is from... wait a minute. Why is...
Stop just making things up.
No, what? You know I don't do that.
No.
You know I don't do that. She's from Prince George.
Prince George, Alberta?
Yes.
Not Prince George, British Columbia.
They moved it recently.
Oh, they moved
it? Yeah, they moved it back to Alberta.
What was the reasoning behind that move?
Oil.
Oh, it was an oil move.
It was an oil decision.
There you go.
Oil-based decision.
Oil decisions are just beyond me, so.
Me too. So I can't really jump in.
Right.
And what she does is she's a tree peeler.
She peels trees.
She peels trees, yes.
So the bark she peels from the tree?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. It's a process used to help provide trees with better bark, or as they say in the industry, skin. And so it's kind of helps replenish.
Looking for a new co-host here at Dark Poutine.
I'm just speaking.
He's not well.
I'm just speaking facts.
And speaking of Alberta, from Sherwood Park, Alberta, just outside of Edmonton,
sure.
Tammy Bork.
Thank you, Tammy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you pronounce it Bork or Burke, but I know I have a friend who pronounces it Burke.
Yeah.
And then another friend who pronounces the exact same last name Bork.
Wow.
Yeah.
I go with Bork.
Okay.
Because of Ray.
Fair enough.
Ray Bork. You
know? Ray Bork, yeah. Next up, we have Patty Hertel.
Yep.
And I can say with confidence, even though we don't know for sure, Patty Hertel is from Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
Because my grandmother's mother, my great-grandmother, used to live with a Mr. Hertel.
Okay.
In Nova Scotia.
Sure. And there can only be a few.
There can only be a few. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think what Patty Hertel does in Nova Scotia is she is a lobster freer.
Oh!
She goes around, she's sort of a crusader, goes around freeing lobsters from the pots. So she will...
So like if you're even, what if it's...
She swims around.
Okay.
She's a scuba diver. Yeah, well-trained.
Yeah.
Down into the water.
Aren't the pots in homes though?
No. The pot, that's what they call a trap.
Okay.
So she will take them out of the traps, and so the guys bring them up empty, and they just think, oh, it was a bad day. Nope, Patty's freed them.
Wow.
Isn't that nice?
That's super awesome of Patty.
Yeah, even though I do like to eat lobster, I understand that.
Yeah, yeah. You know. Is that how you got the one on your arm? Was she freed it originally?
She freed it right to my arm.
That was the first one she ever freed?
No, that was Casey Wladichuk from Casey Designs Tattoos who did my tattoo.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow.
But thank you, Patty Hertel,
for your... You're doing the lobster's work, as they say.
There you go.
You know?
Somebody who is not related to me, but has a similar last name, Betty Ruth Brown, sent us some donut money.
Sounds like a delicious chocolate bar.
Well, she said, more donut money from Jacksonville, Florida. Yeah. I just adore you guys. Appreciate the time and effort you put into your wonderful podcast. Oh. Keep up the good work. Betty Ruth Brown.
Thank you.
Yeah, that means a lot to us.
I love that name.
When we hear that kind of stuff. Yeah, it is a good name. And also... we got a donation from Irene Briand.
Thank you, Irene.
And she doesn't say where she's from or who she is or what.
She likes her privacy.
Yeah, she's sent us some cash, we're good with that.
Yeah, yeah. You can be private.
Thank you, Irene. And lastly, but not leastly, so it says Edwards, and she says. Her name is Rachel Edwards, according to
what we see. Yeah.
And she says, I know it says Edwards, but my last name is Eichelberger from Wisner, Nebraska. Wow. She even spelled Eichelberger out in a way that I would understand it.
Yeah,
and also Wisner.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. If everybody did that, my job would be so much easier. Yeah. I found you guys by way of My Favorite Murder, and you have quickly become a favorite podcast.
Oh.
I love that I can listen to you with my son around. Well, not always. He always gets excited about the loons at the beginning of each episode.
Oh.
I've been binging while I've been on maternity leave, and I love the care you take with each case. Your love and appreciation of the listeners of the Yumber Yard is endearing, and I can't wait to continue to learn about my neighbors to the north. Sent by Rachel Eichelberger.
Okay, but this just,
from Wisner.
This just poses the question, Mike. Why does it say Rachel Edwards? The plot thickens.
There could be a number of reasons.
The plot thickens.
And Rachel Edwards could be her maiden name, and she just hasn't bothered to change it with...
Her maiden name.
Her maiden name.
Her maiden name.
Or as Ricky from Trailer Park Boys says, her mating name. And I don't mean to be offensive there, Rachel. Just watch the Trailer Park Boys and you'll understand the Rickyisms. Anyhow, thanks so much to our patrons, past and present, for your pledges. We really appreciate your support of the show. We really do. Donut money, you guys are amazing. If you want to help support the show, you can do so at patreon.com or for one-time support, you can... Oh, patreon.com/darkpoutine.
Mm-hmm.
Or for one-time support, you can send us donut money via PayPal at our email address, darkpoutinepodcast@gmail.com. If you don't already, it would mean a lot to us. If you subscribe to the show, you can easily find us on iTunes, Podcast, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, or wherever you get your on-demand audio. And now you can easily rate us on podchaser.com.
I saw that. Yeah.
It's like IMDb for podcasts.
That's pretty cool.
We happen to be the number one rated podcast there right now because of all the ratings that people have been giving us.
Get out of town.
No,
wow.
We totally are.
That is so great.
It is. Give us a follow or like on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Just search for Dark Poutine. Most importantly, thank you for listening. Mm-hmm. And tell your friends about us. Word of mouth is a powerful thing.
You know what my favorite review was that I read?
What's that?
Decent.
Decent. I like the one that
concise.
Where the guy said he hated me and
well,
liked you.
Me.
He liked. Yeah.
I know.
It would be an interesting show if it was just you.
No, you mean it would be an interesting non-show.
Yeah. What kind of research went into this? Well, there was a napping.
I'm just curious. He's playing
with the dog.
Is this to like? How is this person making this assessment?
I must have angered that person for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why can't I anger that person?
Well, you can start kicking people out of the Yumbrayard.
I'm barely Facebook anymore.
Yeah, me too. I'm getting a little worn out with the social media thing.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
So until next week, don't forget to be a good egg and not a bad apple.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.